The New York State Brewers Association will be holding their sixth annual New York Craft Brewers Festival this Saturday, March 9th at the Desmond Hotel in Albany. The New York Craft Brewers Festival brings together 76 New York breweries and brewers. That number has gone up six just since I read the intro 8 minutes ago. It's from every region of the state, featuring up to 150 hard-to-find and award-winning beers. It's a great opportunity to meet New York State brewers that make the beer and the owners of the local food scene in the Capital District that are such an important part of the community. We welcome our good friend Paul Leone, Executive Director of the New York State Brewers Association. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning, Joe. Thanks again for having us.
Always a delight to have you. I think we had you and you were just starting all of this out 6 years ago, and it's a delight to have you back. We also welcome our good friend Kevin Mullen from Rare Form Brewing Company in Troy, one of my personal favorites, and it's a delight to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
And Rich Michaels is certainly well known in the beer world, but the brand new Frog Alley Brewing Company is opening in Schenectady, New York, and that is a work in progress that will open soon.
Yes, we have our small tasting room open now, a temporary tap room, so people can come in and have a beer with us. But the main project, you have to keep an eye on social media. Hopefully, we'll be up and running very shortly with a little bit bigger presence.
Very nice. Well, congratulations. Welcome to the show, and very nice to have you all here. Well, Paul, we'll start with you. The one thing, I was looking back at a script that I wrote when you first came here, and I think it was like 40 New York breweries. Now it's almost 80, so that number's doubled. Mm-hmm. So that would... Captain Obvious here, that would indicate to me that things are going well in the world of craft brewing.
Yeah, I mean, over 400 breweries in New York State right now. And we've taken over the Desmond. Before, we just had like one ballroom, and now we've taken over both ballrooms. And, you know, it's gotten a little crowded over the years. But
I got rid of that pool. That was annoying. And now you're out there in the courtyard and you have more room.
We've got the whole thing this year. The whole thing this year.
Excellent. So what can people expect?
Yeah, I mean, 76 breweries now from every region of the state, which is really important. All the local breweries will be there, and breweries from everywhere. Plus, we have 20 local food folks sampling food throughout as well. So a little food sampling. Again, we're not feeding people, but, you know, food sampling and great New York State beer. And, you know, the best part of this festival, and we always say this too, is that the brewers are pour the beer, right? So a lot of beer festivals, volunteers, and we love our volunteers, but having the brewers actually at the booth makes this festival unique, because people want to say, hey, where are you from? What is this beer? What's in this beer? And it's a whole experience.
I want to get to drinking beer, and I don't want to sidetrack the conversation, but just out of curiosity, why is it that at some festivals they can't pour the beer?
They can, actually. It's just the typical festival model is, you know, distributors come in with their beer and they have them, and then just volunteers, you know, the beer is from somewhere else. And so, you know, Sierra Nevada and Dogfish Head, they're not going to fly people up for these festivals because there's so many. Because this is supports the New York State Brewers Association. We're a nonprofit. It's a fundraising festival. The brewers all come and, you know, love talking beer with people. It's what makes our festival unique.
Well, it is all happening on Saturday at the Desmond, and you can find out more by going to newyorkcraftbeer.com. So let's get started with some amazing beers. They're all pointing to you, Rich, so we'll start off with you. Frog Alley Brewing in Schenectady. You are – oh, man, that sounds good.
Wonderful. Such a great sound,
isn't it? Damn. Wow. That sounds great. All right. What did you just open?
So we opened up a Vienna Lager, which is a product that we've been producing since we first started producing beer back in November. This has been our single best-selling liquid, not to say our variety of IPAs haven't outsold it, but at the end of the day, we sell more of this liquid than anything else. It's a traditional lager that's cold fermented about 28 days to produce this beer. It's a light amber in color. It's a lightly toasted malt that's used to produce. It's called Vienna malt. And as I mentioned, it is a lager, which a lot of the craft breweries are only producing ales at this point. It takes a little bit longer to produce a lager, but it's a very enjoyable style.
It is a very enjoyable style, and this is beautiful. When this tastes amazingly fresh.
Everything is pretty darn fresh at this point, which is nice. Everything we produce tends to go out the door pretty quickly. We are distributed locally in about 60 accounts around the area. But we do keep it nice and fresh. I think this is probably no more than 2 weeks old.
Wow. That's so good. Amazing, amazing beer. This is, again, from Frog Alley Brewing in Schenectady, one of the 76 breweries who will be on hand on Saturday. Okay, Kevin, you're up.
All right. Made some room for mine.
Yeah, well, you down that.
That was a beautiful looking beer too. I know they can't see it, but crystal clear, really
nice
bright.
Color, beautiful color.
And what's great about that too, you know, it's always about IPAs. You know, everything's about IPAs, but I think lagers are coming up pretty quick. You know, it's a style people can enjoy, and to me, it's a great crossover beer for those that don't like craft beer. It's great for them to get into it. That's a great way for them to get into it.
It's also a very light, refreshing beer, and if there's any defects in it, they stand out. So it's kind of showing off from a quality standpoint to make a nice, crisp, clean lager.
Absolutely. So this beer here is a sabbatical, which is a session ale for us. We used with some raw rye from a local farm. It has, on the nose of it, you'll get a little bit of lemon, almost doughy characteristic and spice from the rye. And then as you're drinking it, you'll catch up some of the lemon and stuff from, use some orange peel and some coriander in there, but you'll get some of that rye finish on the end of it. And it's a 3.9%, so a very low alcohol beer. But the rye helps give it some body as well to it, so it doesn't taste really thin or anything along those lines.
And the full name again, I'm sorry?
Sabbatical Session Ale.
Sabbatical Session Ale. All right, here we go.
Yeah, 3.9% is nice. Really nice.
Very refreshing.
People can have a few of them.
Yes. Hey, let's do that this morning.
Right. Well, yeah, we've got a lot more to get to. Yeah.
Okay. Well, oh, that's lovely.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
Thanks.
That is very nice. Now, it would seem to me, now I know this is, I'll ask a novice question, but to have that much flavor in a beer that it only 3.9% is, that seems like that is a challenge.
It is a challenge. And that's one of the things that I enjoy, though, is I like to be able to have more than one beer. So having a session.
Actually, as I asked that, it doesn't seem like such a novice question, but go ahead.
No, that it is a good question. You know, I think of a lot of the session ales sometimes get a little bit thin, and when the body of it and some of the flavors can also kind of be stripped away. And I think that with this beer, having the raw ingredients in there helps give it some body that helps like add to that flavor as well. And then using some good complementary hops to it, using some orange peel, using some coriander, help add to it as well and kind of rounds the beer out completely.
All right. Well, that is excellent. Paul, you also have a beer in front of you.
I do. So the we're actually the festival on Saturday, but we have our New York Craft Brewers Conference happening right before it. And so the festival, the conference beer this year is a beer that Ithaca makes called Brew York. And it is a beer that is 100% New York State hops and nearly 100% New York State malt. So it's really a genuine New York beer. And you know, the industry has grown so much. There's over almost 500 acres of hops right now in New York State. That industry is coming back. There's 13 malt houses. You know, before the farm legislation passed, there were zero. And so there's a lot of malting going on in New York State. So malting is a craft, and so they've gotten really good. Maltsters have gotten really good. And so any beer made with New York ingredients, and the brewers in the room can probably attest to, has gotten a lot better and is really unique, unique beer.
What's the percentage that they have to use in New York State?
So it just jumped this year. Last year it was 20%, and this year now it started at 60%.
Okay, so I'm finding, in talking to my brewer friends, mm-hmm. that they are having fun. I don't know if that's the word. You can tell me.
You always have fun.
Have fun with using the recipes under the new formula.
Yes.
Yeah. So because you want to keep the taste, and yet you're going by these new rules. Although what I was explained, the way it was explained to me is that most people knew this was happening and sort of had adapted
Correct.
A long time ago. Yeah.
Everyone's known it's going to 60% for years now.
Right. So they just,
yeah. And there's great quality product available in New York right now. I mean, the hops that are produced are excellent. There's plenty of good malt at this point. You know, we're kind of doing a little bit of a leapfrogging with supply and demand at this point, but we've been able to meet the needs of the brewers with high quality ingredients, which has taken some time, but it's been wonderful to see.
And we're an ag state, so this is great that this industry is coming back.
It is. It is amazing because you see this raising all of the boats. I mean, what I find cool is that you go to some of these breweries and they're actually growing the hops outside, and that's really cool to see what's going on.
Yeah, Indian Ladder nearby here. Actually, they grow their own barley. They grow their own hops. I mean, everything's full circle right there at that brewery, and that seems to be a trend with some of them.
So it just this is Ithaca, you said Ithaca?
Yeah, it's called Brew York. It's a pale ale.
It's very nice. Mm-hmm. And will the common folk be able to taste this on Sunday?
They will be
Saturday?
Able to drink this on Saturday. Absolutely,
correct. That is terrific. Again, we are talking about the New York State Brewers Association Craft Brewers Festival, which takes place this Saturday, March 9th at the Desmond Hotel in Albany, New York. And you can find out more by going to newyorkcraftbeer.com. The VIP tickets are out, but the other tickets for the tasting beginning at 5 are still available, and people can find out more by going online, newyorkcraftbeer.com, and we'll have that link on our website as well. Okay. Kevin is hard at work. By the way, I love going to your place.
Thank you.
A really nice tap
Thanks.
Room.
It's
very, very, very friendly, very nice. It's you have great beer, and it's always, I assume that's a very happening spot.
We have a good time there. And so far, the people that come in do as well. So we like to keep it that way.
Yeah, don't screw it up.
We try not to.
All right. So what are we trying next, Kevin?
This is a Schwartz beer. So this is actually a dark lager. And in this, you'll get a little bit of a smoky characteristic. It's not from a smoked malt. It's actually from Cherrywood smoked raisins. Just a bit of that in the mash.
Nice.
Wow. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, do a lot of people use raisins?
I've
heard figs. I don't know about raisins.
A lot of times you can get raisin or fig from different malt characteristics as well. And so I wanted to use that to kind of add to the complexity and add to that flavor and kind of go to what the natural characteristic of this beer is anyway. But then have it play a little bit off some of the other notes in there. So I actually also use some raw rye and some caraway in this too, just to kind of go with the complexity of it, not to stand out by themselves, but to blend together.
Definitely adds to the dark malt character very nicely.
5.6%?
5.6.
And raisin in the dark. And what type? What is the
It's
style?
A Schwartz beer.
So it's a
German dark lager.
I think I've only heard of that a couple of times.
Yeah, there's not a lot of them being made, especially we started making Schwartz beers a couple of years ago. Now they're starting to get more popular, a little bit more popular, starting to gain kind of amongst the brewers themselves. One of those older styles that I know brewers like to drink certain kind of beers. We kind of get into some of those. This is one of the styles that
it's like chamber music.
That's right.
Yeah, and this is fantastic.
Thank you.
Really good. I know we inevitably talk about this, but this seems like a good pairing beer.
It is. It's a really good with food. So
yeah.
Some of this. Speaking of that too, this beer was in a collaboration with City Beer Hall, the chefs there, Demetrius, that we were kind of playing off different food characteristics to find a nice beer that would pair really well with different stuff.
Now let us discuss real quickly, sir,
yes.
Paul, that not only beer, but you have wonderful vendors there from restaurants throughout the region.
Yeah.
And they're there and they are serving food and they're pairing and they're often cooking with the beer and it's a great time.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many good ones, but like City Beer Hall, Demetrios, fantastic chef, The Hollow.
Absolutely.
There's some really good, the Mohawk Tap Room. Like there's a lot of folks that are coming to sample beer. Sample food, and really, it's a great opportunity to not only try their food, but hopefully the folks will go and go to the restaurants and eat their food, at their places. So their support is critical to this, and it also makes the festival unique.
I was going to ask that question of their support is critical, of course, for this festival, but also just in supporting craft brewers having these beers on tap.
Yeah,
realizing that people want that, that's important.
They realize that. Everybody there realizes the importance of craft beer. And you've been, I want to bring this up, because you're a professional. Every time you ask about a beer, you do something very critical, which I think everybody needs to do, is A, what is it? And B, what's the alcohol in it?
Yes.
And I don't know if you remember, it wasn't that long ago when you'd have a beer that had a lot of alcohol in it, it would be boozy and it would taste boozy. And brewers, and this is all their fault, have gotten really, really good at hiding alcohol in beer. And so, for the festival, there are some beers at the festival that are 15%, and you drink them and they taste like your session beer almost. Like it's just, so always ask what the alcohol is.
One of my favorite beers is one that the boys at Argyle do, and it is called Witch's Brew. But I think that's like 9.6 or something like that. And it doesn't taste it, but it'll knock you on your...
to my point. Yeah, exactly
it
my
is.
Point.
Man, so that is why I'm aware of it.
Yes, you need to be.
Because I want to try to remember the Thanksgiving of 2017.
That's right.
Correct.
Or maybe
or not. Yeah.
Or not. Sir, you what have you poured for us, Rich Michaels?
This is our New England IPA. It's called Mohop. It's kind of a play on words for more hop and Mohawk. Which is the Mohawk River right next to the brewery. And New England IPA is a style that's kind of evolved in the past few years to be an unfiltered, hazy IPA and really show off hop flavors. These beers tend to be very strong in hop aroma.
Yes.
And they're very delicate. They have a very short shelf life. So we serve them at the brewery. And I mentioned before that the Vienna is our best-selling liquid. IPA is our best-selling style. We do vary the IPAs quite a bit. People are always looking for something new. We do brew the same base beer each time, and we change the hops on it. So this one features mosaic hops, which are very fruit-forward, lots of strong aromatics from them.
Yeah, the aromatics on this are really nice.
Yeah.
This is I love the haziness. That is really beautiful. You mentioned this, but IPA is still the king of the castle, right?
Yeah, I mean, you guys, it's probably, I mean, as you sell mostly IPAs.
Yeah, you have to keep a couple on for sure at all times, and it's hard for us to, because of our size, to keep those in stock, like in on tap. But we have to have them on. We'll see if we don't. We'll notice it.
Okay, so now that I've had a couple, let me ask a sensitive question. It seems like, so we've talked about the growth of the industry, but the people who don't ultimately make it, it comes down to the quality of the beer, right? You can do this till you're blue in the face, but it's the quality of the beer that ultimately keeps people coming.
I always say that, you know, we grew up drinking what our parents drank. And for a long time, you know, I drank a lot of macro beer. And so when the craft brewing revolution started ramping up, you know, I think you could just make beer and people would come and they would drink it. And so millennials are really driving this. And so this is a group that has started with craft beer, right? And so they know what an IPA is. They know what a good porter is and a Schwartz beer and all of these things. And brewers today really have to brew quality beer. You can't slip one by them like you used to anymore. And so brewers that close for a variety of reasons, one of them might be the quality of beer, or the other might be it's just too hard. You know, I mean, nobody, there's this, you know, perception that brewers are making money hand over fist because their breweries are open. And I always joke that they go home at night, you know, and their pillowcase full of cash they go to sleep in. And it's not that way at all. It's a hard business. And there's not a lot of margin there. So some just find it too hard, you know.
The other thing that I find, and please, the two of you, or three of you, can disabuse me of this fact, but in my experience and my spending time in a lot of my favorite craft breweries, a lot of time, what I find is that there's the time when the place either is just about to close or when we all get together, and people start bringing out the beers that they have found, and everybody's tasting and trying from different places, and there's very much a camaraderie. When somebody says, oh, there's going to be another brewery coming in two towns over, nobody gets upset about that. Everybody gets excited by the fact that there's another game in town.
Well, absolutely.
We have 76 brewers getting together this weekend to talk about making better beer as a group and share beer with each other. Mm-hmm. And everybody's very excited about
that. We're all friends.
Yeah. And then you almost, I mean, it seems you almost have to be. But that's sort of a farmer thing too, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, the uniqueness of this industry, and people bring it up at the time, is like, when is the bubble going to burst, right? You know, there's so many breweries. And I said the uniqueness about breweries, and this is a perfect region as an example. You know, in Schenectady, there was only one brewery at one point, and now there's, what, four or three or four?
Six in the county.
Troy, like, the more breweries that come in, it becomes a destination, and because people want to try different places, and it actually is better the more breweries.
So let me ask you this question, mm-hmm. which is a very I would lose my license as a public radio talk show host if I didn't ask this question, mm-hmm. which is, so not only are you an association, but you were also lobbying for things in Albany.
Correct.
So what needs to be changed in your opinion?
Well, you know, believe it or not, we're in really good shape. We have some of the most progressive laws in the entire country. And I always say, regardless of what you think of the governor, he is really supportive of our industry. And the economic impact of our industry shows that his support is paying off. You know, that's paying off. And beer is bipartisan, which is the most beautiful part of beer. You know, there's some legislation rolling down the road.
I see that just in the clientele of the breweries I go to.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You two shouldn't be getting along. You are. That's good.
We spend as much time, I think, trying to pass progressive laws as we do trying to prevent bad laws from going through. And so, you know,
what's an example of a bad law?
You know, there's a piece of legislation that has only got one sponsor to lower the blood alcohol BAC to 0.08 to 0.05.
Okay.
Utah did that. And some people might say, well, you know, why would you be against that? And it's because, you know, 79% of the alcohol-related accidents are 0.15 and higher. It's not the 0.08 people that are the problem. And when you lower it to 0.05, the issue becomes, Somebody going out after work or being responsible and having one drink, depending on your size, you could be a felony. If a woman, 100 pounds or less is a glass of wine and gets pulled over at 0.05, all of a sudden she's a felon, and over one glass of wine. I think that it would be detrimental to the restaurants, the brewing industry, and the 0.08 people are not the problem. It's the 0.15 people.
So. And then all the groups get together, hash this out, and it'll see.
We
what
try.
Happens.
Right now, right. It only has an assembly sponsor. It doesn't have a Senate sponsor, and we're keeping an eye on that. So it goes nowhere. But Utah just passed the law. And in Washington and in Hawaii.
Well, not there. Right,
I know. But, the issue is that, you pass it in one state, and the NTSB is behind this.
Right.
You pass it in 10 states, and it might become federal.
I see.
And then it doesn't matter what we think. So it's just a piece of, nobody advocates for drunk driving at all and drinking and driving responsible. But 0.05 is really responsible, and you could be a felon if you get pulled over.
I just have to say that, in my experience at the craft breweries that I go to, which, I have my web of places that I go, is that everyone is so responsible, and the brewers are responsible and concerned, and I find that to be, it's a very, there's no let's try to get away with this. It's and by the way, there's also a lot of state troopers next to you drinking.
Yeah. And you know what's even better though? It's ride sharing. Like ride sharing in New York has helped tremendously.
My town in Greenwich, I will go up to the brewery. I will arrive at the brewery, and there are no cars in the front of the place. You walk into it, there's 45 people there. Well, they all walked. Mm-hmm. That's interesting, too. I mean, that's a great part about living much like you do.
Absolutely.
In a city, where people can walk to it.
Craft beer drinkers really are responsible in general.
What am I drinking now? I'm sorry.
This is Freshy, which is our hoppy lager, so kind of our New England-style lager with a lot of New York Michigan copper hops and some Simcoe, which brings out a pininess to it. But, this is actually a lager.
It's very good.
Thank you.
Really good.
Yeah.
And so is hoppy usually a characteristic of a lager?
Not usually, not in this characteristic. It's been more common in the last couple of years with the rise of the New England IPAs and that kind of stuff. So this is like our version, but a lager version of it.
So I always love, I know you're not probably ready to answer this question yet, but I always love the point in the festival where I've been there for, I don't know, maybe 45, 50 minutes, and Paul saddles up next to me and goes, "You gotta go try the dot, dot, dot."
Yep.
Yeah.
You've been scoping it out.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of good beer there, but at the same time, brewers, the great thing about brewers is they're, and this American craft beer in general, is there's no limits of like, oh, well, let me just throw some dirt in there and see what that tastes like. You know what I mean? Not that actually happens, but like brewers, they're like, to me, I equate brewers to chefs. Like they sit down, they think about what can I put in this to make it do this, 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 and this, and there are no boundaries, and that's the beauty of it. So when I see you and I go, oh, there's a Cocoa Puff beer,
right.
Just to try it, just because it's so unique and different.
It's very cool. There was one, an egg cream beer for a while. That was interesting.
Yeah,
it's a cool stuff. Well, it's a great time. Did we try everything?
I think that's all.
Excellent. Yeah. Good. I want to be a completist to make sure we have the full collection. The New York State Brewers Association Craft Brewers Festival is this Saturday, March 9th at the Desmond Hotel in Albany. Yes, it's really colony, but you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. You can find out more information by going to their website, newyorkcraftbeer.com. newyorkcraftbeer.com. The fun starts at 5 o'clock. You can find out more information by going to that website. We'll have a link on our website as well, wamc.org/roundtable. And again, it is the New York Craft Brewers Festival, the sixth go-around for this wonderful organization, and it happens on Saturday, March 9th at the Desmond Hotel. Gentlemen, I thank you very much for coming in. I thank you for sharing your wares and providing us great information, and I look forward to seeing you all on Saturday.
Look forward to being here. Come meet Joe Donahue.
Thank you very much. Again, you can find out more by going to the New York Craft Beer.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.